You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Final Furlong podcast is brought to you in association with AtTheRaces.com, the ultimate resource for racing fans.
Thank you for downloading the Final Furlong podcast. I am Emma Kennedy alongside Sky Sports Racing's and the First Lady of the Final Furlong podcast, Miss Vanessa Ryle.
Hello.
Who is all set for the 5 days of Royal Ascot. And of course, at the races pundit and my good friend, Mr. Kevin Blake.
Hello!
Who is with me for all 5 days of Royal Ascot. Peter T. Fornatale joins us for day three tomorrow. He's already been on for day one, so you can listen to that now on At The Races, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast app. For day two, we will begin with the Queen Mary Stakes, where currently on At The Races, the betting is headed by Final Song at around about 5-1. Kimari, fours and fives. It's kind of pay your money, take your choice in that one. And as fast as around about sevens for Wesley Ward and Good Vibes, who Vanessa Ryle is just going to love in terms of names. Kevin, for you, where are you leaning in the Queen Mary Stakes, my friend?
I'm all over the shop with the Queen Mary because Chasing Dreams was my long-term fancy for the race. And it was revealed this morning that she won't be running. She's had a little setback, so pretty sickened over that. I need to go back to the drawing board. But I was impressed with Final Song, another Godolphin horse when she made a winning debut at Ascot on what's likely to be much different ground to what she'll encounter next week, even though as we are recording, the latest going update has come out from Ascot and it's soft. But they're very hopeful that it will be dried out to good ground come Tuesday, which would suit most people, I'd imagine. And the ground was officially soft when Final Song made her winning debut. But according to Timeform, it was more like good to soft. And looking at her action, she should be just fine on a sounder surface. And it ticked a lot of the boxes, really, in terms of what you want to see from an Ascot filly. And she's going to be my starting point. But like I say, I am back to the drawing board. And I need to watch a lot more videos between now and Wednesday before I get my final answer.
We should talk about that very quickly then, Kev, because the weather forecast has become desperately unreliable. I had to keep a close eye on it for this week. My mother was going on holidays. Thankfully, she's in a good enough position to be going doing that, which is fantastic. And the forecast was rain, 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 rain. The sun has been splitting the stones every single day that she's there. So it's a highly unreliable weather forecast these days. But we have seen, we had the infamous race at Haydock on Saturday, as we record this on Thursday. And, you know, we had beautiful weather there last year and lovely ground. The last thing you want to see is hailstone showers, snowstorms, whatever it's going to be, and ending up with just, you don't want to see soft ground at Ascot. You just don't want to see that for the Royal Meeting.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Hopefully, hopefully. Hopefully Vanessa Ryle will bring the smile and the sun to Ascot. We'll start with Kimari. I'll just steal Peter T. Fornatale's work. I'm pretty sure he's going to mention the horse on the Day 3 podcast, but we talked about her yesterday, and he's all over this horse. All over this horse for that man, Wesley Ward. Definitely his most confident selection of Ward's horses. She won in typical Wesley Ward style. She's by Munnings. She's owned by she was bred by Choina Horse Club. She's owned by Ten Brook Farm. And she won by just the 15 lengths on Fast Ground on Dirt on debut, and she's top price fives and is closing all the time to fours. This is a race that Wesley's got a great record in. We know that five furlong suits him, so I'm following him blindly there. You can watch the race back on At the Races as well if you choose to. Vanessa, for you.
I would say this race is more interesting than normal, because normally Wesley Ward brings his bullets over, and then normally our five furlong fillies can't live up to them. But this year, I would suggest that we have a pretty decent crop of two-year-olds in general, and two-year-old fillies especially, and especially in the Godolphin Blue. And obviously the favourites out. That's disappointing news this morning.
Real shame.
But I'd say we've got a much stronger selection in this category this year than Wesley Ward's encountered in a few previous years. And so I don't think people will be running as scared as they have done previously. And on that note, Divine Spirit, the filly of Charlie Appleby's, is one that caught my eye. That's the filly that I think a lot of people might have seen it on social media. She is, I think she was an 800,000 guineas breezer purchase from the Craven sale. She then made her debut at Windsor, and she essentially bolted down to the start and looked totally out of control. They got her under control. She loaded into the stalls, and then she was keen enough in the race, but not mad keen. She was fine. And she won, pulling out nearly all the stops. Not all the stops, but nearly all. And so it might not have been as impressive as some other fillies that have made their debut this spring. But for me, I think she didn't do herself any favour. She obviously wasted a lot of energy pre the race. And she's a breeze up horse. She should have been more professional than that, but she wasn't. Now, obviously, that is a bit of a concern at Ascot. But it's interesting, two interesting side notes with Divine Spirit. One is that her dam was second in this race herself, Sherl, trained by Simon O'Callaghan. And she was second by, I think, just a neck. And then the other interesting side note is this filly actually was due to make her debut at Ascot, but was withdrawn on the ground concerns. That was obviously a few weeks ago, and then they rerouted to Windsor instead. So it's just two kind of interesting angles there. The breeding side, how much she cost as a breeze-up horse, her raw speed and ability. That form at Windsor has been frank since. The third came out and won at Lingfield. And for me, I think... look, it's very competitive, and with the Wesley Ward horses, it's even more competitive. But for me, I think we haven't seen the best of her yet. She obviously clocked a very fast time at the Craven sale. She's a good-looking, sharp individual. She looks like a rocket. And yeah, she'd be my fancy for this race, Divine Spirit.
I think Vanessa Ryle has been spending a bit too much time in my company, because you've become attracted to horses with big price tags. 852,000 guineas from the breeze up. Kamari, $152,000 as a yearling for her. So maybe that's the reverse forecast.
How much? 152?
Yeah, $152,000 as a yearling.
How much was the other one?
Vanessa's horse, Divine Spirit, cost 850,000 guineas as a two-year-old at the breeze up.
Correct.
These big priced horses. It's all about the big priced horses. I'll play the reverse forecast with those two, but I'll stick with Wesley's horse, Kimari, to go and get the job done again in a race that he has won three times at least, to the best of my knowledge. There is a certain sense of awful irony that the Queen Mary favourite Chasing Dreams was ridden to success by William Buick, and they both Miss Royal Ascot, but Kieran McAvoy interestingly comes over, so we'll see how all of that plays out. And Kevin Blake goes back to the drawing board. The Queen's Vase, then, over the new distance of a mile six that we've seen for the last couple of seasons. Last year, this was a race that was absolutely dominated by Aidan O'Brien. You did a stable tour with him in the last couple of days, and it looks as though his runner will be Western Australia, who got the win last time out at Navan. Not the deepest of races, I would argue, Kevin.
No, but look, the important thing there for him was to show that confirmed the suspicion that the step up and trip would suit him, and he duly did. You know, you couldn't say that he brought his form forward. You know, after all, you know, he was just beaten a length in a for a 10 futurity last season, but he did show that the trip is within his stamina range, and you know, in what will presumably be a stronger contest. And you have to say, it doesn't look the strongest Queen's Vase on paper.
It really doesn't.
that he could have the opportunity to show a bit more here, and the extra furlong will suit him well. And he's a likable colt, and he just looks very solid. He's always looked a real stayer in the making. There was very, very passing mention given to the possibility of Norway running here as well. He ran in the Derby, of course, and ran okay, but just okay. And would need to improve for the step up and trip, I think, if he was to be a factor. But you have to respect him based on the pick of his form. Just a little note to put in beside his name is he gets very sweaty and wound up. He did it at Chester and he did it again in the Derby, and it didn't stop him running well both times, to be fair to him. So that's just something to bear in mind, that if you see him awash with sweat down at the start, it's not necessarily as big a negative as it would be with other horses.
And his brother did that as well, ruler of the world. So it's not necessarily something to be completely panicking about. He didn't end up making the shortlist for your stable tour, Kev, but he would be interesting, as you said, on the pick of the form of the race, and particularly given the fact that it just, like, if Western Australia is your 5-2, 3-1 favourite, then something's wrong. And you can surely
Poor old Western Australia.
Poor old Western Australia, my eye. I want to get a winner. So surely there's something else here that we can get at a decent price. Vanessa, do you have anything on your shortlist for this race?
I'd say it's a very weak race. I was disappointed when I looked at it earlier in a bit more depth, actually. Considering, you know, since this race was taken up to Group 2 level, it's produced Stradivarius and Kew Gardens.
Yeah.
And you'd be very, very surprised if anything of that standard was in this, judging on what we've seen so far. So, yeah, fundamentally quite disappointed. I suppose mentions to two, the main one, Dashing Willoughby for the Andrew Balding team, already, Ashim Murphy's already jocked up to ride it. This is a horse that ran a really decent second on seasonal reappearance at Newbury behind Charlie Fellers's King of that horse, but then disappointed when it went to Chester for the Derby trial behind Sir Dragonet. But that really wouldn't have suited him, the tight track at Chester. He's a big boat of a horse, a big staying type. He'll be stepping up to this distance for the first time. He's out of a mare that won at a mile 4, I think, and is by Nathaniel, so should stay the distance. I just think he lopes along in front. He's a front runner. If they gave him a little bit more of a chance than they did at Chester, that Newbury form hasn't really stacked up, but this is a weak race. It could end up being a very weak Group 2. And I just think they've committed to this race already now. He's just one that caught my eye as a horse that will definitely appreciate a more extreme test in stamina. And then also special mention to Eagles by Day. That's the Michael Bell horse out of Miss United by See the Stars. Another one who very lightly raced and was only won once, but that was over a mile 4. And another who I think will appreciate a step up in trip, ran in the Derby trial and flopped. But again, those are the sort of horses that go for these races, the ones that have been tried at, you know, a mile and a half and are basically boats. We're looking at boats here. That's why, actually, now I was going to make a derogatory comment.
Do it.
I've refrained. In my new professional mantra, I've refrained from the derogatory comment. But yeah, Dashing Willoughby, Eagles by Day, but Dashing Willoughby probably is the one that caught my eye. But it's a week old contest, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the excitement at all of last year's race. Norway would be interesting, but he has to bounce back. Jalmood is probably the one who's the most interesting from a betting perspective. He's kind of well found in the market now, around about 6-1, as I look at theraces.com. But he is unbeaten in his last two. He's inexperienced, beautifully bred. He's out of Dancing Rain, by New Approach. And went to France last time to win at Longchamp. I think he'd probably be the one I'd land on, but only just. It's not exactly a race that is getting us entirely excited from a betting perspective, as you can hear in our preview. Now, something interesting has happened. Go on, Kev.
I said I'd just give a very quick mention for Eminent Authority, because he might run.
For Joseph, only the two runs so far.
Yeah, he might run. He's been a real surprise package now. He wouldn't show much at home at all, but he's really pulled it out on the race course, to be fair. Won around Killarney first time, despite not enjoying the track at all. Went into listed company at Leopardstown last time just to see where he was, because he done so much more in debut than was expected. Just kind of had to give him a go and see where he ended up. But he actually ran a lovely race, and he got outpaced turning in, and then came home very well. Should definitely improve for the step up and trip. How good is he? I don't know, but he definitely, based on that last run, he has the potential to improve, and he's not a certain runner just yet. It'll all depend on how he is in the coming days, because it's obviously coming a little bit quick after Leopardstown, but he's been given the entry, and we'll see how he is in the coming days.
Okay, well, as a great man once said, this is a windy race. So given the fact that it is so wide open and the fact that he won on debut, like you made the point before, Kev, that Joseph's horses, they do their work on the track, like they're ready to run, but it's surprising when they win on debut. So obviously he cut you all on the hop that day. By Frankel out of Longcress, it's a stunning pedigree out of a Breeders' Cup winning mare by one of the greatest horses we've ever seen. So yeah, he's definitely fascinating, and his price is reasonable, I believe. So he could be very, very interesting. At what point are we going to know if he's going to run, Kev?
Next morning, I'd say, yeah. Okay. Yeah, pretty close to it.
Okay, well given...
Be left as late as possible.
Given the fact that it's such a wide-open race, he'd be very, very interesting if he did. He's a double-figure price. He's 16-1 at the races.
He'd be interesting, but like I say, you know, it's impossible to know how good he is, because he shows nothing. What he's done so far has been a big, big surprise. But I don't think... If you knew nothing about his homework and you just watched him, you wouldn't say there was any fluke about it. Like, he won despite the track at Killarney, despite the trip. And what he did at Leopardstown was pretty promising, I think it's fair to say, being as objective as I can. So I think he'll improve again, but how much is anyone's guess, really.
What was his problem as a juvenile, Kev? He cost €160,000, but he didn't make his debut till this year.
Just big backward horse. Big backward horse, needed time stare. Just wasn't forward enough to run a two. Simple as that.
Okay. Look, he's 16-1. It's a very fair price. If he's declared, he could be very, very interesting. And you don't know how good he is, but he might just be good enough to go and win this race, because it's not going to take a whole lot of winning. However...
He's actually a full brother to Master of Reality, that's going to run in the Gold Cup for Joseph as kind of an outsider.
Yeah.
And he's clearly a big staying horse as well, so that's just them.
Yeah, I think the fact that he's a big staying type as well is going to suit. But what a pedigree. Frankel out of Longcress. Fascinating. We'll see how he gets on if he's declared. Now, the feature races of every day at the Royal Meeting traditionally run at 4:20. However, on day two, the Prince of Wales Stakes, which is undeniably the feature race, has been switched to 3:40 to accommodate Japanese viewers. It'll go off at 11:40 their time. And this is because they are represented by Deirdre. So, Kevin Blake, it's probably fair to say you fancy Deirdre.
couldn't resist, could he?
Right, before we come to...
He saw the low-hanging fruit and he just had to devour it.
If I get that little laugh from Vanessa Ryle, then I know my job is done and I'm happy. It's interesting.
Don't judge your entertainment value on me. I laugh at anything.
High class, yeah. Vanessa Ryle. If Vanessa Ryle's laughing, my job is done. So
no, you need if you know you've really hit the spot with Vanessa. If the laugh gets a little bit kind of higher pitched, we talked about this before. there is a certain tone of laughter that Vanessa produces when she's really tickled.
Yeah, and it stretches out.
I don't think you hit that pitch.
It stretches out.
That wasn't it, Kev.
There, Kennedy. Yeah. That wasn't it.
I'll take it. Listen, it was a giggle. I will happily take it. We'll come to the Japanese outsider a little bit later on. This is the race of the week. This is undeniably the race of the week. You've got Aidan O'Brien's Magical on a three-time winning streak, but she's beaten Flag of Honor on all occasions. However, that form with Coronet and Enable from last year looks high class. You've got Sea of Class, the ARC runner-up, making her season reappearance. Crystal Ocean, interestingly, has been rerouted to here as he seeks his first Group 1. Volgeist for the French is in here as well. The Derby winner has his first run since the Derby last year. Massar, and is effectively confirmed for the race now, having possibly been rerouted to the Hardwick Stakes. And then it's whoever you want. Deirdre as well, towards the end of the betting. Magical is your favourite. She's very short with some. She's 11-4 with others. Sea of Class are in and around the same price. Crystal Ocean, Volgeist 11-2, Massar 7s, This is the race of the week, Kevin Blake, and who's going to come out on top?
Yeah, I'd very much be with Magical. I think she's rock solid. When we previewed the race for attheraces.com there on Monday evening, she was 3-1, second fav, and I see the market has corrected since. She's more a general kind of 9-4 shot now, 5-2 in a few places. And that's more like it. I could see her shortening a little bit more just because she has zero question marks next to her name. She comes into this in the form of her life. Conditions will pose no problems at all, whichever way they come up. And she's just really, really solid. Whereas for all that, the rest of the field is kind of a who's who. It's just question marks all over the shop. Sea of Class, you know, has to show she retains her ability, has to show that she's as effective at 10 furlongs, hasn't had a fully clear preparation, I gather. So, you know, she doesn't have the three-year-old allowance this season. You know, Magical has already shown this season that she's continued to progress from 3-4. Sea of Class will have to prove that. And she should. You know, she mentally progressed as last season went on, but you shouldn't assume it until we see it. So, I think with this race being so deep, if Sea of Class finished third, her connections would be delighted.
I beg to differ on the basis that today I suggested that and William Haggers called me stupid.
Really?
He actually called me stupid.
Are you sure it was just about that?
This is what happened. Like, the conversation went... he was basically, so it was the Ascot press conference today and kind of for the international runners. But anyway, Haggers tipped up. And so I grabbed him for a quick interview about Sea of Class and all of stuff you kind of covered, you know, a bit of an issue in the spring. This is a starting point. And then it was like, you know, this is a starting point. It's we've got a long season ahead and we've got big end of season targets, right? So it led me to say, okay, so on that basis then, William, in such a deep, like what looks like a strong group one, what will you be coming home happy with on Wednesday? Like, I didn't think it was that stupid a question.
That's a perfectly reasonable question.
It's a completely reasonable question.
And I thought
question.
He'd say exactly what you suggested, Kevin. I thought he'd say, look, if she travelled really well to the furlong marker and then, you know, fitness told and she came third, I'd be delighted, right? And he just turned around and he said, now that, Vanessa, is a stupid question.
Jesus Christ.
Well, okay, you know, I'm just suggesting that, you know, on the basis that you've just said that she's got bigger targets down the line, might we just think that, you know, a place would be good? And then he kind of like did a little wry smile and carried on. But I was like, oh, called stupid by William Haggers at the Ascot press conference.
That's brilliant.
Nailed it.
Get that clip up on Twitter. That'll go viral.
Yeah, please. Somebody has to have access to that on video. And if you do, and you're a regular listener to the show, just clip up Vanessa asking in the question and her being called stupid. Nothing else. And tweet it. No context needed. Just tweet it. Yeah, Vanessa Ryle, Final Furlong Podcast, Vanessa Ryle branded stupid by Top Trainer, and it'll go viral. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, but as stupid as Vanessa clearly is, I don't think that was a stupid question.
It was a perfectly legitimate question that Kevin and I
think if that did happen, they would be happy. I think there might just be an element of a pre-race, I don't know what you'd call it, but it seems like a bad thing to say, but anyway.
Has William Haggis been watching Conor McGregor press conferences and is now deciding this is the way to go about things? This is how you promote it?
To be fair, I must just add, William Haggis, I don't know him that well, but he knows my parents. And every time I see him, I'm always like, oh, William, can I just grab an interview? And he's just like, I can never get away from you, Vanessa, you and your Ryle family. And like, it's a bit of an ongoing joke.
Okay,
so when
okay.
I dragged him over, I did say, this will be quick and I won't ask anything stupid.
There we go. Okay.
And
okay.
There's
our context.
No,
Vanessa.
Yeah, that's well done.
Yeah, throwing Haggis under the bus.
Yeah, that is very well done. That is throwing him under the bus and burying him at the same time. That man walked away with sore ghoulies after that. And I'll tell you what else too, because your mother, Sally, listens to this race, is literally referred to as the Dame due to the power that Sally had in the media world and still retains. Sally Ryle meets the most elite in politics, right? Sally Ryle is determining who becomes the Conservative leader. Ladies and gentlemen, Boris Johnson, your new Prime Minister. I guarantee you, after listening to this, if Vanessa hasn't already WhatsApped her, William Haggis is going to get a bollocking from Sally Ride.
No,
an absolute bollocking. I would have asked that question. Kevin would have asked that question. Anybody would have asked that question. So we all would have been called stupid. In my case, that would be justified, though. Crystal Ocean and Kev has yet to win Group 1. They try him over 10 furlongs instead of going for back-to-back Hardwicks. Are you surprised?
A little bit, yeah. And the trip is a question mark. Really solid horse. He's never the sexiest individual. He's never won a Group 1. I've always really liked him. I think he'll probably be fine over the 10 furlongs, but will he be fully effective? It's a question mark. Waldgeist looked, you know, as primarily...
I just would like to get, just
over.
Before... Look, I know that you are, and it was said on Twitter the other day, name me a more important and better race analyst than Kevin Blake. I'll wait. And there is only Kevin Blake, but Vanessa, I'd like your take on Crystal Ocean as well.
Yeah, Crystal Ocean for me, question marks, definitely. But, I mean, what Kevin said about Magical being so rock solid. Like, if you had asked me Sea of Class or Magical last year on their form with how close they ran Enable, who's obviously the yardstick, I'd be taking Sea of Class every day of the week. But as we've already mentioned, the question marks over her mean that, they come here with that Enable form, but Magical's rock solid and Sea of Class is the opposite of rock solid. Then Crystal Ocean, for me, has to prove himself here, I think. I'm surprised they're going for this race. I'm surprised. But Michael Stout, winning most trainer at Royal Ascot, king of the place, loves the place.
I think this is horrible placing. I think it was horrible placing to skip. I think it was cowardly to skip the arc last year. And I think this is horrible placing. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. I don't think it's horrible. I think it's the wrong adjective. I think it's really interesting that they decide that they're going here.
Very odd.
And then Massar, for me, it'd be great to see him back. The shame is with this race is all the names are there, but there's too many question marks to call it. You know, people are calling it the race of the week or the Group 1 of the week or the main, you know. For me, there's not enough. There's so many question marks about those in behind the favourite. It's a bit of a shame, really.
Okay.
And well, Deirdre, we should touch on
Hold on, hold on. Whoa. You've lost track of yourself as well.
Why?
Hold mad tough there, Vanessa Ryle. Kevin Blake, Waldgeist. So the moral winner of the arc. Moral winner of the arc. Your assessment of him.
We've mostly seen him over a mile and a half, and he's looked a good solid middle distance colt, but he was back to an extended 10 and a half last time in the Gane and was very, very good. So, you know, you have to consider the possibility that he might prove even better at that sort of trip. One factual fact I'd mention about him that's potentially significant is that he has run outside of France 5 times and he's never won. And he's been below his best every time. Might be nothing in it, but as mentioned, it is a factual fact that he'll have to overcome next week when he comes over. And that would be my main concern with him.
It's a serious concern for me. A very serious concern with Waldgeist, as Vanessa says. The fact that he has not run to his level outside of his native France, and that's something that you have to bear in mind. Yes, he was very good on the Sky Sports Racing cameras last time out, but he has to be even better and overcome that issue that has been there, and you can't get away from it. Look, he's traveled the globe and he hasn't done it, including going
you have to preface it with, like, he's run well in an Irish Derby.
He has, but he also
run well out in Germany, but he's not quite had his best.
He's beaten 2 lengths in Germany. Jesus Christ, he's a Group 1 horse. He should be mopping up over there.
It wasn't necessarily an established Group 1 horse at the time, though, to be fair.
He'd just been second in the Irish Derby. Second then at Ascot and gets beaten in Munich. Now, something's not right about when he travels. I don't know why. Maybe as an older horse, he'll have improved and little Napoleon will have figured things out, but I'm not entirely sure. Vanessa, Waldgeist for you.
Nothing more to add. Travel, I guess, as you've touched upon.
Derby winner Massar, Kevin Blake. So he goes here. Obviously, we haven't seen him since the Derby, dropping back to 10 furlongs instead of going for the Hardwick, because leaving that race wide open, but fascinating runner.
Yeah, sure. Who knows? Derby winner. I wouldn't doubt his potential to be fully effective at 10 furlongs, but has had an injury. You know, who knows? who knows? It wouldn't be a shock to anyone if he came back and won. It would be fantastic. But at the same time, again, if he finished third, his connections are probably going to be delighted. So very hard horse to be bullish about.
Charlie Appleby, to be fair, is more than capable of producing horses to win after a layoff. And after that, then, you're not really interested in anything else, with the exception of your beloved Deirdre, who is 50-1 and at the races.
Well, I wouldn't be too quick to rule out Sabeel Prince, to be fair to him. You know,
how often do horses win their first Group 1 as a six-year-old, Kev?
Highly unusual, I'd imagine.
Like, I mean, he's got a remarkable race record in the sense he's lightly raced, but he has literally climbed up from handicaps through listed races, looking obviously above average. Won a Group 3, that comes out, wins a Group 3 this season, then a Group 1.
Yeah.
Look at the way the form is working out from the Earl of Sefton as well. Like Mustachery was third, you know, Alarcam fourth, Forest Ranger was second, you know, and he's won that very well on the day, you know, and yeah. He's gone and beaten Study of Man in France. I wouldn't sleep on him, for all that he wouldn't have a sexy profile, a little bit like Mustachery and the Queen Anne. You're kind of looking at him and knowing, wondering, can you believe the improvement he's seemingly shown at this stage of his career? But I wouldn't sleep on him now, because like we're saying, you can run down through him. Crystal Ocean, Massar, Voldgeist, Sea of Class, they could all run below themselves. It wouldn't be at all shocking. Whereas Sabeel Prince comes into it in the form of his life, with conditions to suit. And he won't be ignored in the market, but he'll be a double figure price, I'm sure, just because he doesn't have that sexy profile. And he might just outrun that.
Yeah, he's already 14-1 on at the races. Maybe I was a bit dismissive of him, to be fair. He is closing into 12s, but Forest Rangers come out. Regal Reality has come out and won as well. So yeah, that form is interesting. So
yeah, but ultimately, lads, just don't complicate your mind. Just back Magical.
Yeah. So look, my bet of the week is Magical. And I said this on a preview recently, and I was rubbished for saying it, because someone said to me actually that she's only barely as good as Magic Wand and might not be as good as her. And I went, what are you? Yeah. We had a full-on row. Google it. You'll find it somewhere. So I just think that this horse is ideally suited to this race. And it's music to my ears, Kev, that you're talking her up in the way that you are. So before I get your full conclusion on her, Vanessa, Magical, Sea of Glass, Crystal Ocean, Massar, who is it for you?
Deirdre. Win, put them all.
Jesus,
Lane gone. No, I would. If I had to have a bet in this race, I think I'd probably back Sabeel Prince to be in the placings.
There you go.
That's actually a great shout, Kev, with that whole form of his life line against other horses, other than Magical that aren't.
Full of good ideas.
Okay.
I was very pro Sea of Class until A, William Haggis called me stupid, but also B, genuinely talking to William and the whole line about bigger targets further down. So yeah, I think Magical to win and Sabeel Prince to chase her home.
You've stolen my bet. That's the forecast bet. Magical.
There we go.
And with Sabeel Prince to overperform against a lot of horses who've got question marks. Kev, Magical, don't complicate your mind, just lump on.
Yep. Simple as that.
Happy days, bet responsibly, and all that malarkey. 4:20. So what should be the Prince of Wales Stakes now becomes the Duke of Cambridge Stakes.
Or the Prince of Wales, as it's now known.
The Prince of Wales, yeah. So that switches to 3:40 to accommodate the Japanese and their 50-1 shot.
You're not familiar with that reference, Kennedy. You're clearly not up with your current events.
Keep going. Explain.
Trump put out a tweet today where he referred to the Prince of Wales as the Prince of Wales. W-H-A-L-E-S.
Oh my God. He would think that, wouldn't he? Did he do a gif of a whale leaping through the sea?
How have you not seen it? Loads of people are putting out pictures of whales with crowns on them.
Jesus. I've been stuck in the studio all day. So to the 4:20 Rodda for Sir Michael Stell as your 4-1 favourite. I Can Fly, interestingly, has an entry here and is being supported at 5-1. Pretty Baby, Voracious, Anna, Numerium. We've got Awesome Tank in there as well. Red Team moves swiftly. Kevin Blake, break this one down for us.
Not a race I have a big view on. I Can Fly is going to have to carry a £3 penalty here. And I've been a small bit disappointed with her so far this season. You know, I thought based on what she did in the QE2 last year at the back end, you know, running roaring line so close, you know, I thought she could be a real big factor amongst the older horses this season. And she's been a bit disappointing. You know, very good comeback at Dundalk, had nothing to beat, but did it very well. And, you know, a little bit more like it last time, maybe, but she really should have, she should have won that group two at the Curragh, and she didn't. She's missing the kick a bit these days. She just isn't what I'd consider a reliable conveyance at the minute. And giving away £3 is going to be tough enough for her, I thought.
Yeah, she's probably going to be backed as well, given that Aidan's got such a strong contention on day one, which we've already talked about with Peter. But you can see her being backed. Hydrangea went off a ridiculously short price for this race last year and got stuffed. So if you're going to take on I Can Fly, she was a horse you were very keen on at one stage, who are you going to land on instead? I know it's a race you're not overly mad about, but who would be your alternative?
No, I'm not going to even put one up here. I'm really struggling to get enthusiastic about any of them. I'll leave it to Vanessa.
All right. I shall suggest Anna Numerium. Very tentatively. Vanessa, take it away. Who's yours?
Look, as Kevin has alluded to, it needs someone to go to through it with a fine-tooth comb at this stage, because everything in here pretty much has a chance. But Pretty Baby caught my eye for James Doyle and William Haggas. I don't just keep mentioning him because of the previous joke. But Pretty Baby, she won on seasonal reappearance at Lingfield in the Group 3. And that was a pretty decent run. She was badly placed. She made the running. She was headed, and then she really toughed it out at the end. And she's just the filly that, well, the Haggas team are actually in great form, all joking aside, at the moment. And they're firing a lot of bullets at Ascot this year, more than ever. But she's one that definitely, out of all of his runners, I really sort of pricked my ears up at, simply because of the way the race went for her at Lingfield last time. I just think that she toughed it out. She did it the tough way at Lingfield. And I'm hopeful that she might take another step forward from that seasonal reappearance. That was a Group 3. She obviously steps up to a Group 2 now in a wide open race. I think she was the one that I fell on in the end.
I'm happy with that. More than happy with that, Vanessa Ryle. Pretty Baby for Vanessa, her great close personal friend William Haggas, and James Doyle. Somebody please do that video. Stupid question. As we move on to one of the big betting races of the entire week, the director said, going to you live, where's Kevin? Kevin was gone, off to celebrate the victory of good friend David Murnan at Settle for Bay, who bids to become only the second horse to win this race twice, literally since 19-dickety-doo. It was 1947 and 1948. The horse was called Master Vote, for those of you who like a good quiz question. Maybe that'll feature in the Christmas quiz later in the year. Settle for Bay is running off a mark of 105. He blitzed them last year, Kev. It was an absolutely stunning performance. It was the tipping performance of the week, and there is money coming for him now. 10-1, but shortening all the time into 9s and 8s. Do you retain the faith in David Murnan's runner?
Yeah, look, things haven't been straightforward for him since, you know, the style in which he won it. You know, God, he must have been one of the most impressive Hunt Cup winners in recent decades. He was brilliant. But things haven't gone right for him since. He picked up a foot problem not long after that ruled him out of the rest of the turf season. He was then brought out to Dubai, where he disappointed a couple of times, emerged that he had a breeding problem, had surgery to correct that out there, and then came home. And look, it's been a steady build since, but his run at Leopardstown the other day, or this day last week, I should say, was very good, I thought. It was a nice step in the right direction. Finished off the race very well. And sure, you wouldn't need to be a rocket scientist to work out that Dave has been targeting him for the Hunt Cup again. And you know, while he'll need to do more of a 6 pound higher mark, he won with more than 6 pounds in hand last season, you'd have to say. So if you put your faith in Dave to get him back in the same sort of form he was in last season, he must have a shout. You know, a horse like him, hold up horse, would always be at the mercy of draw and having pace in front of him. But if he was to get it, you know, you'd have to give him a good chance.
Okay, is he going to be your main selection, Kev?
These races, I'd really struggle to be bullish before we see the draw, because you really have to see the draw, have to see where the pace is. Ideally, you know, you wait until the day of the race and you get a look at the track the day before to see how it was playing. But he'd certainly be on the shortlist at this stage.
Okay, there's two on my shortlist. He's not one of them, but he will definitely be in any trifecta or box exact, as Peter T. Fornatel would say, that I'll play. The two, and Vanessa, this will be important to bring you in on. One would be a real feel-good story after the terrible thing that happened last week, and that's Jamie Osborne's Raising Sand, who Jamie Osborne loves Royal Ascot. That man loves the Royal Meeting, and he's got some record there as well. And this horse has clearly been targeted there. His last three runs have all been at Ascot, including a win. And the other is much more exposed horse, who, when I was going through this last night, I was a bit taken aback that he's still a full horse. Robin of Navan, who was Group 1 winner as a juvenile, got murdered last time out, but that run against Zaki at Ascot back in the 1st of May I thought was very interesting. And they're both in and around 14, 16 to 1 if you shop around, fair enough. I thought they were interesting. Vanessa Ryle, for you.
Yeah, interesting shouts. Robin of Navan is the epitome of bringing group race form into a handicap. But you'd have to be a touch disappointed with the way his last few runs have gone, considering what he showed previous, a little while ago now. So I don't know. I'm more questionable about him. But Raising Sands definitely is one that caught my eye as well for the Jamie Osborne team. Horse who loves Ascot, has won there over a mile and the 7 furlongs. A 7-year-old now, but as you've touched upon, I think they'll have been targeting this for a good while. I think I like his the fact he loves the track, is it goes without saying, it's a massive positive. And I think he'll, like we said, will definitely have been targeted at this race by Jamie Osborne. He's likely to be ridden by Nicola Curry, who knows him pretty well at this stage, and he's just a horse that he really brings his A game to these sort of events, and so he really caught my eye. And then New Graduate, obviously topping the market for the James Tate team, pretty solid performer, pretty decent performer, and the reason that he kind of tops such a competitive betting market at this stage is because his win a last time out at Ripon, the form has been franked left, right and centre, and so he's obviously been catching the eye. He's a pretty classy performer. But yeah, I think for me, Raising Sands, actually, I fall with you, Emmett. I really like him for this race. I know, like we said, we've seen the best of him, but we know what he can do. And I like him here. I know he's got to take on these progressive horses coming up like New Graduate, but he's a solid bet. You're going to get good run for your money, aren't you, with him?
You really should. I mean, we are draw dependent here. We are at the mercy of the draw. Yeah. But given his record at Ascot, the fact that his last three runs have been there, the fact that Jamie Osborne loves to have a winner at the track, you go on at the races and you'll see various different bookmakers. Some of them are going 5 places. On the day, you're going to get someone going 6. Someone's going to go 6 places. If this horse is double figures at 6 places, just do what Vanessa Ryle and I are going to be doing. Up and down the lines, clean up as much as you can and get it all on Racing Sand, and we'll see you in Dubai, and throw in Robin of Navan and Settle for Bay for your trifecta, and we're golden, absolutely golden. Fascinating race. The concluding race then is the 5 furlong Windsor Castle Stakes, obviously towards the head of the betting on attheraces.com right now is Mr. Wesley Ward, who loves these races and loves this trip at Chile Pitten, 6 to 1. Bumproof could go here, but Kev has made a very strong case off air, and I presume on the Thursday you will be putting this horse up for the big race on that day, the Norfolk Stakes. Kev, I suspect that you think that's where the horse is going to go, but I'll lead with you, my man. Sunday Sovereign is double entered, triple entered in fact, Bumproof as well, but you're expecting him, from what I've said to you off air, you're going to be talking more about him on the Thursday. We've both spoken to Peter off air. he's quite keen on these Wesley Ward horses, and Chili Petten sets a pretty decent standard on what he's done so far.
Yeah, look, I'm not acting in anything other than my own selfish hopes. I'm hoping Bombproof goes for the Norfolk, but he could well go here. And if he did go here, he would be the selection for sure. I think he'd be the one to beat in either race, but it'll be up to his connections where he goes. You have to respect the Ward horses, especially over the minimum trip. That their, you know, historical record is superior over that than over further. And yeah, I don't have loads else. You know, Sunday Sovereign is still in the mix to run either here or in the Norfolk. Temple of Heaven is one we mentioned in the context of the Coventry. You know, he'd be interesting. I think he'd have the pace to come back in trip if they wanted to as well. And Ventura Rebel, you know, surprising there hasn't been more chat about him. You know, he's 2 from 2. He's changed hands since his last win, which isn't a huge surprise, but he beat Lady Pauline, of Wesley Ward's at Ascot last time in what was a big upset at the time. There was no fluke about it. And he won in the style of one that would benefit from that in terms of experience and know-how. So he should be well equipped for Ascot after that. And yeah, he'd be one that'd be on the shortlist as well. But again, these, especially the Norfolk and the Windsor Castle, there's so many of these two-year-olds that are double and triple entered, you know, and we don't have the draw either. So again, these races, like the handicaps as well, you just, you can have your shortlist, but I think it's probably best to hold on to your final opinion until you have all the information in the old pot.
Okay, Ventura Rebel is now in American ownership, I think. Is it Abdullah Manani? But they're very famous American colours, if I remember correctly, but for Richard Fahey. And will be fascinating. Vanessa Ryle.
No real strong opinion, I'm afraid. Just they're all like a load of bullets are going to line up across the track and the fastest one will win.
Wait, breaking news. The fastest one will win. Note that down, Kev. Make a note of that.
I just meant more like, you know, you scroll down through them and 98% of them have either won on debut or a double winners or a one has won and come second since. I mean, there's loads of decent horses in here on what we've seen so far. I thought it was quite interesting that when Sky went to see Joseph O'Brien last week, his one of the horses he put up as a horse to look forward to for the week was Air Force Jet. But you know, again, no, as we've said, no one's got any idea what's running where. So that's very tentative. But obviously, I don't know, it must be a horse that was relatively near the top of his mind when we asked the question. But other than that, not much to report, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, Kevin, latest to report on Air Force Jet?
No decision yet. He's double entered as well. It'll be the Windsor Castle or the Norfolk. And yeah, you know, you can see the case for him. He'd be the best of Joseph's kind of sharp two-year-olds. And I was impressed with him at Navan. He beat a horse of Aidan O'Brien's called Southern Hills, who is held in some regard. And he did it despite not really handling Navan at all. If you watch it closely, when he heads off downhill there in the closing stages, he switches his leads 5 times between the 2 furlong pole to the 1 furlong pole. You know, he got very unbalanced and was headed and had to be switched around Southern Hills, but he's really come back at him in the final furlong to nib him. And I thought that was quite impressive. So there's plenty of ability in there. His mammy, Windfire, was a really fast filly. I'm trying to think that she run at Ascot. She did. She was third in Norfolk to No Nay Never in Coach House. There you go.
No, that's interesting.
So, He's bred to do the job by charm spirit. And yeah, like I say, he's a nice two-year-old and he did well to win last time. So I'd be disappointed if there wasn't more to come from that. But we'll just hold fire in terms of which race he goes.
The point that you've made several times is that Joseph's horses need their first outing, that the work is done on the track. They're ready, but they will very much improve from debut. This horse was only beaten a short head. And as you said, he didn't really handle Navan, but still managed to go and win. But he's owned by Qatar Racing. And he was sent off 4-11. He was 5-2 on debut. The Sheiks were up and down the line, filling in as much as they could. They're always at it. They're at it with all. Whenever the sheiks come for a horse in the market, you need to pay very, very close attention. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Watch out for those little bags in the parade ring, because if you see little bags heading for the betting ring, you know it's on. Speaking of a sheik, can I ask you, Vanessa Ryle, about Expressionist, the Knight of Thunder call to one on debut?
Say that again, sorry.
Expressionist, Vanessa, who won on debut.
Yes, and Knight of Thunder, who everyone's got terribly overexcited about as a stallion. Apparently, all his breeze-up horses were rocketing around the place, and then obviously this came out and won on debut, and so did a few others. Everyone's terribly excited. Obviously, a course and distance winner. I mean, could easily go off favourite in this race, but so could a Final Song and everything else that Godolphin and any other high-profile sheiks send to a race like this.
Sheiks. The sheiks are going to be on. Keep an eye out for the sheiks being on. I'm telling you. We're on to something here. I'm telling you, we're on to something. Best bet of the day, day two, Vanessa Ryle. Who's it going to be?
Best bet of the day.
Yes, best bet of the day, Vanessa.
Surprisingly, Vanessa.
It wasn't going to come.
I didn't think we were doing best bets
of
the day.
Who would have thought that in a day two Royal Ascot preview for At The Races, which is the digital partner of the broadcast partner, Sky Sports, who would have thought I would have asked you for a best bet? Jesus.
Don't be a sarcastic Sally now, okay? Nobody likes a sarcastic Sally. I will go with, thank you, Divine Spirit in the first. There you go.
Well done, Vanessa. Is that your nap?
Yes. Take it as what you want.
Now give us something at a bigger price.
Deirdre in the Prince of
Wales. Hey! Go on, Deirdre. Go on, Producer D. Kevin Blake, your nap of the day.
Magical.
And boom. Your bigger priced horse?
Settle for Bay.
Okay. You said that with real confidence. You said that with so much confidence, Kev.
What?
Because
it's 6-1. Bigger prize bet of the day. 6-1.
Hold on a second now.
He's much bigger.
Hold on a second. Vanessa Ryle has really been spending way too much time in my company, because not only has she become very fascinated with horses that cost an awful lot of money, she's also become adept at quoting the shortest price possible about a horse. You can get 10-1 widely about Settle for Bay.
You can get 12-1.
Yeah, can you though? Well, you can actually. Bet365. Yeah, fair enough. So there you go,
there
Vanessa.
You go.
There you go. All right, so Settle for Bay. A real mark of confidence there for Kev. I'll take him on. Raising for Sand. Jesus Christ. Raising Sand for Jamie Osborne for a fairy tale story. Robin of Navan to chase him home with Settle for Bay back in third.
And if you want the inside track on Raising Sands, Hugh Taylor has a share in him and spoke about him at length at the very back end of the Ascot preview that's on attheraces.com.
Interesting. Just give us a spoiler alert. What did he say? Lump on?
He'd love the rain to keep coming, that's for sure.
Okay.
Horse that likes knees in the ground, and he would have given you encouragement.
I would think that the way Ascot plays out these days, that even if it is good ground, you're still going to be all right. I would have thought. We'll have to wait and see. Be fantastic for Hugh if he manages to go and win. Imagine if he tips him and then he goes and wins. That would be telling in itself. Robin and Navin would definitely be my other play in that race, and the bet of the entire week is Magical, which means she's obviously the nap of the day. She just goes and wins. Don't overcomplicate your mind. She wins. Peter T. Fornatel joins us again for our day three preview of Royal Ascot. We've got Declan Ricks alongside us for day four, and Rory DeLargy and Declan Marr are with us for Saturday's preview of day five of Royal Ascot. Every single race live on Sky Sports Racing. All the information that you need and plenty much more is there for you on attheraces.com. Not least stable tours done by the main man himself, Mr. Kevin Bryan. The most important... Kevin... Oh, Jesus. I've fallen apart. Kevin Blake. Producer D, can you just line up all the painkillers? Every one of them? I need them all.
What's that for? Hey, you have some sort of physical problem.
Well, there's a ban on talking about physical problems.
I didn't realize there was anything wrong with you.
All the painkillers, all of them now. And we'll get stuck into those. Thanks very much. Kevin Blake spoke to Aidan O'Brien. And it's an interesting, very, very fascinating stable tour. Vanessa Ryle has done a lot for all the content as well, which you'll see on Sky Sports Racing. Lots of trips to Ireland. And that's there throughout the week as well. Vanessa, as always, an absolute pleasure, my darling.
Thanks very much. And just an FYI, I am many things, but I'm not stupid, Mr. Haggis.
Yes, indeed. We're watching you, Haggis. We are watching you. Can't wait for Sally Royal to get stuck into him. Kevin Blake, I will talk to you for the day three preview coming up.
Good luck.
And hopefully you enjoy it. Some gold nuggets, I hope, there. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for all the kind words on social media as well. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Our Kevin Blake will steal your phone, give it to a Russian hacker, and make them do it. So save yourself the hassle. It'll be much easier this way. And we'll talk to you for day three later on in the week on attheraces.com. God bless.
Have you downloaded the free At The Races app yet? With easy-to-use race cards and form, expert daily tips, plus video replays and in-app betting, it's the app that no racing fan's phone should be without. Available for free on your iPhone or Android mobile, visit attheraces.com/app for more details.